Word. This is Parshat Miketz, and everyone knows the Magritte painting, The Treachery of
You
Images.
showed this last year, I think.
Have I done, shown this before?
I feel like, because I know that I've seen
The,
it, and I feel like I saw it
within
from
that
you, and
pipe, this is not a pipe, right? We know that that's famous Magritte painting because it's not a pipe. It's a picture of a pipe. You can't actually smoke it. That his point, that Magritte was the surrealist painting. The point is that the image is not the thing, right? The map is not the territory. The word is not the thing. The symbol is not reality. We'll keep that in mind. We're going to talk about Zohar Atkins, who I mentioned before. He's a philosopher. I like a lot of what he writes. But he's bothered by this whole magic goblet that Yosef hides in Binyamin's sack. The end of the parsha, he's framing Binyamin. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be Benjamin? Yes. We all know the musical. Okay, so the way he puts it, this is the end of the, this is the last of the parsha, source one, Beitzav Beto, and Yosef commands the person in charge of his household, his majordomo. It says, "Malei am tochot Hashem ochel, fill the sacks of these men with food. Kasher yuchlin, say as much they can carry. Yisim kesef kesef ish b'fi am tachto, and put each one's money into the mouths of their sacks. The gvi gvi kesef, and my goblet, my silver goblet, yisim b'fi am tachar katan, put in the and put inside the sack of the youngest one. The kesef shivro, along with the money that he brought for buying the grain." We ask it by Yosef, Ashiri Baron. He does what Yosef says. A book or in the morning, but Hashem Shulchu, Hema, and the men were all sent out on their donkeys. They're riding back to Eretz Canaan. They had just gotten out of the city, hadn't gotten far. Yosef Amar L'Asher Beito, and Yosef tells his major domo, his second command, Kum Redof Acharei Hashem, go chase after these men. Be sig tam, and you should catch up to them. Or martelem, tell them, lama shilamtem ra'a tachat tova, why are you paying back my good with bad? Why are you doing such bad to me? Hello, zeh asher yishtad, this that my master drinks with, hu nacheshi nacheshbo, and he does magic, he does divination with it.
Ooh.
Nacheshi nacheshbo. We're going to assume bo means with it, not about it.
It's interesting because in modern Hebrew, also like lenachesh means like to guess. There's no connection to magic.
But Nichush is always with magic. Here, that's really the context here. And Nichush in the Chumash is talking about, divination, reading in the stars or in entrails. A Nachash, right, Yisrael. You have done what you've done is bad. Basically, this guy catches up with him. And he tells him all these things. And so the brothers tell back to him, why are you saying these things? God forbid. So that your servants should do such a thing. And look, the money that we found in our sacks last time, we brought it back. So how can you possibly think that we would steal anything, gold or silver, from your house? We're honest, we brought the money last time back. So they look and they find in Binyamin's sack, and they can't go back and they come back to Egypt, and Yosef is standing there by Avoah, Yehuda, Beit Yosef, and Yehuda, who will become the leader in confronting Yosef. He and his brothers come to the palace of Yosef. Yosef is standing there. And they fall down their faces before him. Yosef tells them, "Mama zeh asitem, what is this thing that you're doing? Halo yidatem, didn't you realize? Ki nachesh yenachesh, ish asher kamoni, like man like me can certainly divine, figure out, will learn these sorts of things." That's Yosef. So Atkins asks, why does Yosef accuse his brother of stealing his divination cup? Again, we're looking at this as, he's got this magic cup from how divines with, and that's what he uses for framing Binyamin. Why not simply simply frame it for stealing money or drum up some more ethereal charge like seditious speech. The specificity of the divination comes suggests Yosef is making a point he can make with no other object. Why does he use that?
Did you write this seditious speech just recently when it's in the news with the ex-president?
He's not talking about sedition. They were talking about
sedition.
Yeah,
no?
No, it was
obstruction. Insurrection.
Insurrection was the term that they're using there. Yeah. No. This is actually from a year ago. I didn't write this. This is Atkins.
It's not sedition. They have two words. One is obstruction, and one is
insurrection. Is what they're talking about. The riot was. I mean, yeah, they're using words that don't have enough legal meaning to mean anything in this case. Sedition is saying things against the government, which was illegal, you know, the Alien Sedition Act in the 1700s. And that's what was overturned. And that's what sort of established all of our modern First Amendment precedents that you're allowed to be
anyway. Sedition. Seditious speech is.
This is right. So,
anyway.
So the question is, what's the point of what? Why is he framing him with that? Right? He's talking about his nichush, he's divining, he's doing magic tricks with this goblet. And you don't see in the text of Torah, you don't see Yosef actually uses this goblet. The Agada points out this hint in there. You know, the idea that Yosef is doing this magic before them. And the obvious example is when they come down to Egypt with Binyamin, and they're all eating lunch with him right before this whole incident. And it says, and he has them sitting in front of him in age order, from the Bechor down to the youngest. Remember, they're all basically, Yosef's 39, so his brothers, his older brothers are all between basically 40 and 45.
So how does he...
How does he know how old they are? You know, all he's got 10 brothers. He arranges them all in order. And the men were just, and the brothers were all just wondering back to each other. Like, how does he know this? Like, we know how he knows this. Like any other magic trick, he's got insider information. He knows who's who, but they don't know that, right? As far as they know, there's some Egyptians who can immediately tell who's the oldest one. The Rashi puts it. Right? He's doing his magic trick and he looks into his magic cup and he says, Vakora, Ruben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Bnei Emechad, you all are full brothers, one mother. Hesivu Kaseder Hazeh, you should sit in that order. Ruben on down. She has Seder Ketolotcham, because that's the order of your birth. Vechein Kulam. Each other said, he knew which one were half brothers, which were full brothers, what the order of their birth was. Right, looking in his Gevia. Right, presumably this is some kind of nichush. We're associating it with the nacheshi nacheshbo. You might have been using this gevia to tell the, you know, this theme of looking in for images into your magic cup. You got that in Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings too. It's Galadriel's bowl, I think. Given Shigila Binyamin, and then he has these matching. Everybody says Binyamin. Amar ze in lo em ani in lo em. He says, look, Binyamin. You're alone, you have, your mother's not alive, you have no mother, no other sibling from your mother, and I'm also like that, you should sit next to me. Okay, that's his magic trick. He gets everybody's age and everyone's family. Another example, the Breishit Rabbah. When Yosef is accusing the brothers of being spies. Yes, Vaniro Eb Gvia. I'm looking at my magic cup, and I see, two of you slaughter the city of Shechem. And then you sold your brothers to the Arabs. Right? I know these things about you. I can tell by looking in my cup. And another Midrash Tanchuma, similarly, when it says, initially he recognized them, and acted as a stranger toward them. Navayakirem means in the Midrash that he made themselves like a Nachri, a stranger. What does that mean? Natal Gavia picked up his cup, Behikish Bo, and examined it. Vamar Lahem, or studied it, I guess, made a hekesh. I said, "Aniro ed b'gvia shali kim raglimatem." I can tell that you are spies. I'm really looking. Imanach said, "No, we're all honest." I'm like, "No, aniro ed b'gvia shishtaimi kim echriva krakadosh of Shechem." And I see, "No, I see two of you did the slaughter in Shechem." I'm like, "Me hand said, wait, who did that?" Hekish b'gvia. So he analyzes his cup. I'm like, "Had Shimon and Levi smell? There's Shimon and Levi." Okay, at least the Medrash, he's doing all these magic tricks, all these mentalist kind of tricks, knowing things about people that he had no way of knowing. And again, we know the truth. He's doing it the same way mentalists do it now, right? He just knows. He's got information from other sources. He's on mute. They don't know. They're very impressed by his magic. And it adds this idea that was the Vayinakeralahem. That was this Nachri thing. That looking at this divination was what was foreign to Bnei Israel way of thinking. Right? Bnei Israel don't do Nihush. And that's what Yosef Friends. That's what we're looking at. Why is that? What does that tell them? So then what reason would they have had to steal this magic goblet? That this framing somehow makes any sense? So the Tanchuma suggests Binyamin wanted this because he wants to find his brother. That's what he's accused of. Right? Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, you got a magic cup to see things? I know. Maybe I can find Joe.
Oh. But doesn't he know that he died? Doesn't he? Yeah. Isn't that the.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything. I mean, all they know is, right, they think that he was lost 22 years ago.
But
and he found his cloak. That's all they know.
But isn't the, like, narrative is that.
Yaakov is not doesn't stop mourning because he doesn't actually believe he's dead. He doesn't achieve closure. And that's the point that Yaakov doesn't mourn Yosef.
But Yaakov thinks he's dead because he
doesn't. But even I don't think even Yaakov doesn't achieve that closure because he doesn't.
The brothers don't know he's dead. They dip the coat, you know.
And I said this is Binyamin. Binyamin doesn't know anything about the dipping either. He wasn't there either.
Well, but they told him, you know.
They might have.
He found a coat and blood, but.
Right.
So oh, but David is right. He would think he's dead like Yaakov would think he's dead. The brothers.
Could be, but again, without having the closure, he's still mourning. There's still that hope there. That's okay. Where Tanhuma looks at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of that idea that Yaakov doesn't actually stop mourning because he doesn't achieve closure. Right. By Yomer Lehem Yosef, Mama says she's 10. What are you doing? Amar Lehem Yosef. Yosef tells him, Ani Omer Lehem. I'm telling you. Why did this lad steal my magic goblet? Lekosembo Leide Hechan Achir. He wants to know where his brother is. Maybe, you know, if he thinks this is, he got a magic cup, that's what it is. That's one reason.
So that's not a question, Mahamaka says, not a question. He's not asking them.
Well, it clearly kind of is a rhetorical question. What is this terrible thing you've done? He knows what you did. You stole the cup. You know, when he says it, what is this terrible thing you've done? Didn't you know that I was going to
True. Right.
It is obviously rhetorical. He knows exactly what the act
right.
is.
Right.
He's saying it's a terrible thing. And you obviously stole the coast. You want to find your brother. Fine. You still stole. Right. Levy gives a different answer. It says that, it's a magic cup. It's valuable, right? They're just after the money. This is the Beit Levy. Here's the first. When it says, you have made bad that which you have done, literally. It's talking about everything that happened before, that by stealing this cup, you've ruined everything you've said before, and all your arguments before, that you're so honest, you're not spies. Obviously, you're spies because you stole my cup. Avrulahem adat that you've tried to pass up to now, Ima, with me. Geneva kilkulahem akol, and by stealing this cup, you've ruined everything. Dineve met. The truth is, Geneva tagavia ein chumakom lechoshdam kla. That there's no reason to suspect them that they would have stolen such a cup. The kamayeshave agavia, because a silver cup itself can't be worth that much. Well, Erach Shivuya Kesef Shal Tuvah, Beit HaRa'av. Remember, they brought all this money back So their argument, well, we brought it back, we wouldn't have stolen. That's valid if you're just looking at it as a silver cup for the value of the silver itself. You know, because, you know, the food and the price they paid for the food in the time of famine must be much higher. They returned it already. They said, why are you saying such things? We returned the money that we found. Why would we steal more stuff? Right? If we wanted to keep the money, we would just get the money we had already. So there's no point, there's no reason to say they would have stolen it. So, and if you find it in our sacks, you have to say that we're being framed. Doesn't make sense that we would steal this.
But it was a magic cup.
Ah, that's his point. That's more valuable than simply a piece of silver. That's right. Basically what you say. That's
You mean if it weren't magic, they would have said, well, who would steal this thing?
Right.
But it was magic, so they have a problem.
Right. That's the basically the point. The Kaven, Barak Kaven, the Chomash Amar Lahem Aratam Reglimatem. He said, since, you know, so far he said, you know, he accused them, they're spies. Go to Arata Aras Batem. You're trying to find the weak points of the land. Right, Amar Lahem. Yodeakol, Idegavia. Right. And I figured this out. You are spies, and I have this magic goblet that lets me know this. Shemagid Lo Kosaro tells me all these secrets. Right, we quoted the Midrash Tanchuma, Shehigish Bevia, that examined the cup. Omer, Roni, Meshach Limatem, I see that you're spies. We quoted that. Chepetz Kazeh, and an object like this, Shemagalek Kol Nistarot, that reveals secrets, Harehu Yakar Hamitziut, Lo Yaslu, Yasule, Bezahav Ophir. That such a thing is more valuable, the most valuable thing in existence. It's valuable, and you can't buy it for all the gold of Ophir. So therefore, the fact they returned the money is not approved, because this cup clue is more valuable than the money they returned. So in go chifetz yakar arakar kaseh. That's not the fact that they returned the money is not a proof they wouldn't steal something this valuable. It's a magic cup. That's why stealing it obviously destroys your argument that you're honest. The call poluchem arata, that everything you've done, all your arguments that you've done before. That you try to prove that you're honest, you've ruined those by stealing this. You're proving that you think that you're concerned about this cup, that you know you acknowledge that this cup is a magic cup. That's why you stole it. So obviously you're proving that you think that I was telling the truth. Because if you weren't spies, and I look in the cup and says you're spies, you'll know it wasn't a magic cup. So obviously, A, you think it's magic, therefore you obviously are admitting that it was telling the truth way back when. You're spies, right? Obviously, you think that what it said was right. Who would be smart to figure out whether it was telling the truth besides you when I accuse you of being spies? You know it. That's what Yosef's cleverness was. Aniach the sakama gavia, that to put this particular goblet in their sack. There's a nistra called the divrei v'kucham v'natzutam. So that way they can't save themselves. Now that's, you know, that if they've stolen the cup, it's proof that in fact they were spies, and he's justified all of his arguments. That's another reason, right? In other words, the goblet there is something that they would possibly steal because it's valuable. The most logical reason they would have stolen it is just by the Sifte Chachamim, which when he's looking at Halo Yadatem Kina Chesh Yina Chesh. When Yosef says, didn't you realize that I would Nachesh, I would divine, I would figure this out by my magic? And Sifte Chachamim points out that even without the cup, that you thought, you know, you're spies, and you thought that if you steal my magic cup, I won't be able to find you anymore. You'll get away. Okay, that's why you stole it. You're stealing, right? But you should really, you should have realized that even though you stole my magic goblet, Jani Manacheshbo, that I'm doing my divination with, then how would I have known that you would have stolen it, if that's what I'm using? See, still, you should have realized, like that, to know he's Isha Shekamoni, that someone like me, I could figure it out anyway. That's the Sitzir Chacham.
Okay.
I think that's
so by the cup. He has talent, abilities. Yeah.
It applied by the Beit HaLevi too, that if they were spies, they would steal the magic cup to stop Yosef from being able to track them down. What that reminds us of, this kind of accusation, is
ooh,
right?
The trefim.
The trefim, ooh. That's exactly right, right? Rachel, Yosef's mother, stole the trefim of Lavan. Right? Way back when, Lavan halach l'tzono, Lavan went to shear his sheep, v'tignov Rachel the trefim ha'shel avia, and Rachel stole his household statues. What are trefim? And v'tignov l'akov et leiv, Lavan Arami, and this kind of parallel of stealing here. Yaakov steals Lavan's heart by sneaking out in the middle of the night. Albeit he gives Boreachu by not telling him, and Rachel has stolen them, and Lavan chased after and explicitly calls them Elohai, my God. The Rashi says she stole them to keep Lavan away from idol worship. Okay, that's Rashi's explanation. Rashbam says no. Rashbam, I think this fits in the story, the shot here, that Lavan clearly believes in magic, in divination, be able to do this. He tells Yaakov explicitly that beforehand. Yomer Lav Lavan. Lavan tells Yaakov, if I found favor in your eyes, when he tried to convince Yaakov to stay a little longer after the deal with his wives here, why don't you stay even my sheep? Nichashti, I have done nichush. I figured out that the reason why I've been so successful is because God has blessed me because of you.
Wow.
You are the source of my success. That is I figured that by Nichush. He obviously believes in Nichush. Okay, so presumably Rashi proposes that Rachel, having grown up that house, also believes in the power of those teraphim, magic statues. And that's why she stole them. So that Lavan couldn't chase them, wouldn't find them again. And that's what Rashbam says. So that Lavan couldn't figure out from these trafim that Yaakov was running away. Says we have examples of trafim being means of nichush, like Hashem says, there's ein efod, which was the urim tumim. That's how Hashem gives you messages. Ein efod or trafim, neither the holy way of learning things, or the trafim, the magic, the unholy way. Or in Zechariah is ki yad trafim dibru aven, that Zechariah is saying, no, your trafim are all telling you lies. Clearly, trafim were used for divination, figuring out the future. Lim hayu lakosim bahem, that's what they use for magic. So Rachel sold them, again, to stop them from to stop Lavan from figuring out, was proposing that similarly, Yosef accusing Binyamin of stealing that Gevia in order to stop him from figuring out where they are.
So this suggests that Rachel believed in their power.
Yes, that's what that suggests.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not impossible. Right? I mean, she may have been a wonderful person, but to get grew up in Lavan's house, she's, yeah. not unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So Asher Wasserthiel, who was one of the founders of the Mishrad HaFinuch in Israel, in the speaking of the state, his biggest fame is he is the editor of Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata.
Oh.
Rav Neuwirth, but he also wrote a series of commentaries on Rashi called the Birkat Asher, so a contemporary. So he makes
the first or second The first or second Shmirat Shabbat? Jacko says, is that in the first one or the second one?
Second. Yes. We know the story about that, yes. But I think he was involved with both. And he was involved with the re-editing it to meet the demands of the mob. Yes.
Okay.
this comment on the story with Rachel is, remember, when Yaakov says, Hashem say, imatze oto mevadecha v'amit, that whoever, no one stole your trafim. Whoever steals your stole your trafim should die. That's what Yaakov says. Yes, he doesn't believe anyone stole it, but in fact, Rachel, in fact, does die later on. And that's a connection there, that Yaakov basically cursed his wife. He doesn't think anybody was stealing. The way he puts it, and the brothers here make the same comment. No, we didn't steal the gavia. Whoever stole the gavia should die.
It's like Yiftach also.
You don't casually curse people. Even if you know, even if you're absolutely sure of what's the truth, you don't casually curse. So Wassertail says, Kavasha Alti Rabim, I've asked many people. Kate said Zem Dabrim Hachim came. How could the brothers do this? To say, Hashem Mitzit Oto Mevdecha Bamit. If you find it in any of our belongings, they'll die. How can they say that? They already know what happened with Rachel, who hit va'otu toshel Yaakov, and Yaakov's expression, the signon dome, with similar words, right? When Yaakov says, "Imasher timset Elohecha lo yechi," anyone, if you find your Elohim, they should not die. Amnon Rachel meta baderech, and Rachel dies, and certainly, thematically seems to be connected.
Oy.
So how could they possibly, this connection between the stealing the Gavia and stealing the Trafim seems to be there. How can they say that? We'll look at that. But right now, anyway, understand what this purpose of this framing is, that Yosef is framing the brothers stealing the Gavia. It only makes sense if the brothers think that this cup is real, if it has real power. Otherwise, there's no point in anyone stealing it, so it's worth the thing to be stealing it. But the thing is that
They didn't steal it.
Right. So the truth is they don't. They don't believe it's real. Right? That's it. It's a nachri, right? So they not cruel him by using it. That's a nachri mindset. So that's what Beit Halevi says. That's their argument, is that we didn't steal a magic cup. It's just a silver cup. It doesn't have that power. Hemi Shivulo, so the brothers answer, Kedivrehem, that's what I quote. Hain Kesem sa by Eich Nignov Kesem sa. How can we steal gold or silver from you? Amru. They were saying, the En Shumala Klaba Gavia. There's nothing valuable about this cup. It's a cup. Fine, it's a silver cup. It's not worth more than the money we already gave back. Eno Rach Chomer Kesem Zahav. It's just a thing. Amru Kesem Zahav. And they said, it's silly. This, it, you know, when there's gold silver, the Havadai Harbe Gavim Hayal Shulchan. Because obviously he had lots of cups there. He's in the Viceroy of Egypt. Meham Shal Kesef, Meham Shal Zahav, when they had gold or silver, he had a melech, who as much as the king could afford. Emrulo, Komar, Kilo, Nitnu Lev, Lachshiv, Lagavia, they said it that way because we don't even pay attention whether when the one you were using was silver or gold. It's not that important. Meham Dim Klav, Meiz, Lagavia, who, I don't know, you know, none of us know which one was stolen. Humida Berimam, that he doesn't know which one he was talking about, Imchel Kesov Zahav. Right? That's their kind of argument. We didn't steal it. We don't think it's valid. We don't believe in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the essence of the Birkat Asher. Remember, he's asking, how could the brothers use this language about the person, you know, that whoever finds it should be put to death when they have to with Rachel? But Birkat Asher says exactly the same thing, that the brothers didn't think this cup had many meaning. And for an answer, you can look what the Ayah Medavar, according to the Nitziv, the Fiv Amar Yaakov, that according to him, that Yaakov said, that when Yaakov said that whoever stole your Elohecha should die, because he was afraid of the Avodah Zarah, right? He didn't want anyone in his household serving these idols, right? Lavan calls him Elohai. He says, no, anyone who stole Elohecha, they should die. Because if it's Avodah Zarah. So that's the answer to my question. Because the brothers aren't looking at a case of Avodah Zarah. Why didn't the brothers more careful and don't say this? So Cain and Abrim Domim, because it's completely different. Kind of a Zara by Rachel, it was a statement not about whoever stole it should be put to death, but whoever's serving Elohecha, these false gods, they should be put to death. That's a Zara. Visham, meaning the case of the brothers in the Gaviah, Stam Geneva. It's just that. No one's going to really put to death. We'll be slaves to you. Whatever, it's not the same thing at all. Rachel stole Trafim that had some other Nichush, Kosem, Avodah Zarah. This you're accusing us of a cup. It's just a cup. So, given that, to Atkins, Zora Atkins is proposing that this is the point that Yosef is trying to make to his brothers. You know, I know, you know that I know that you know that I know. That there's no magic in the cup. Okay? And that's his point about that, you know, you can't, you didn't, you stole it from me, but I still figured it out. This is again the Bricha Asher. Yosef mitakene devrei avadav shebukenu. Yosef is making clear what his servant says, nacheshi nacheshbo will do this magic with a cup. And he says, no, lo b'gviyani nachesh. It has nothing to do with the with the cup that I minachesh. And now we're switching to modern Hebrew, as you said, on the Nichush. Ki im midat misfaru bina. I figured it out. There's no magic here at all. The cup has no power. We all know that. So what Atkins is saying. The Joseph tells us explicitly, you can't steal a divination cup from a diviner, because the diviner will know what you've done. In this case, then what's the point of the cup to begin with? It's just for show. It's the prop. It tells you this is a magic trick. Similarly, a magician doesn't need the wand to magic. The wand is a kind of prop signifying, look, this is a magic show. So there's a kind of irony to stealing a diviner's cup. Total misunderstanding what divination is and where it comes from. Joseph is saying that you can't take his power, you can strip him of his props. Since his power is from a higher source, it won't matter. If every brother had a divination cup equal in size, it would not be an equality of outcome. The meaning of a cup is not to be found in its composition. It's like the painting is not a pipe. The cup is not is not Yosef's power. It's not his knowledge. So the brothers object. They know this. Simple enough. The thing, we knew that taking away the cup wouldn't stop anything. It doesn't affect the underlying reality. The point is, Yosef says, aha. So what about that multicolored coat 22 years ago? You're so jealous of the coat, right? If you know that the symbol is not the thing and taking it away is not going to change anything, then did you figure out what happened 22 years ago with that coat? That's it. They didn't take his cup, exactly. And if they had known this in the first place, way back when, if they'd known that genuine power and beauty can't be taken away and redistributed, they never would try in the first place.
The reason that they took the Torah was not because they said, like,
it was
going back beforehand, right? He's saying that the jealousy of the coat was pointless because the coat didn't mean anything, the dreams didn't mean anything.
But it did, it meant Yaakov loved him more.
Okay, but that, right, so his point is that simply destroying that wasn't going to change it. That's not the response to. But they were, in fact, responding to the outside symbols.
But the coat was real. I mean, it really showed Yaakov loved him more. That's why he gave it to him.
Right, but then the answer is not to strip off the coat. The answer is to become better. He's reading that. The answer is to become better people. The dreams, the code are symbols of this potential that Yosef has, then the answer is not to take away those symbols.
No, the answer is to kill him, which is what they did, you know.
Right. So I say, he's saying that that's, you know, you're not going to solve the problem that way. You're not going to be, you could do better.
I think Yaakov is not going to love you more.
Yeah.
After he's dead, that is exactly the wrong approach to it. You're looking at the superficialities, I think if you okay, so fine. So Yosef as a whole becomes a symbol of what's wrong with Yaakov's relationship with them. And so if I get rid of the bit of Yaakov, so treat Yaakov Yosef as I get rid of Yosef, and now Yaakov will love us more. That's not what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The brothers' defense then, Sefer
means. But they know that already because of Binyamin, meaning Binyamin is like another Yosef.
So that's part of the test, is that they are learning this very fact. And when Yehuda goes and defends him, he's pointing out that he has gotten to that point and knows that he's got to. Mm-hmm. Getting rid, it'd be very easy for them to get rid of Binyamin and Bisa and solve all their problems right now. And they don't do that.
I mean, they could say, oh, he took it. So take him away.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Boy, those Rachelites love stealing things, don't they? Mama Rachel stole, Yosef stole father's love, Binyamin stole the coat. No, they're not going to do it. I'm going to be Atkins. Here, the brothers' defense stands saturated meaning. What use do we have for the cup? Right? That's what we're saying. It's just a cup, precisely. There's nothing there to steal. The value of the cup is worth far less to those now practice divination. To them, it's just an ordinary object. So why would the brothers have sought to diminish their brother by selling to slavery, seeing there's no upside to their treachery? What do they gain by taking away Joseph's coat of many colors, seeing as no power is conferred through the transfer? Again, getting rid of Yosef did not address the problem that was there. Take the cup, take the brother, it's like cutting the arm to spite the hand.
I like very much the analogy, the trafim and the cup and the stealing and all that. But this to the coat.
So I would say, less the coat than the actual Yosef. In other words, we're going to get rid of Yosef.
It works, but that's your gloss, which I like. But
he does put Yosef more than just the coat there. His point is that what gain do they take by selling Yosef more of that first line? Why the brothers diminish their brother by selling him to slavery? Right.
Okay.
Getting rid of the brother too. They're getting rid of the coat. They're getting rid of the brother. Right. That's gone. Right. You were jealous of me for the coat and the dreams. Right. If you destroy those, you niran machotav. You solve the problem. They're just symbols of potential.
Yeah.
Kidnapping me was just pointless stealing the goblet. You want to deal with that with my potential, then you have to become greater yourself. That's the way to do it. There's this famous quote in Gemara of Kinat Sofrim Tarbe Chochma, that the jealousy of scholars increases wisdom. Now, obviously, that they never dealt with academic politics where the scholars are destroying each other, but technically that's what's supposed to happen, okay? Jealousy of someone else's wisdom is not, you can't steal it from them. You're supposed to know that. You've got to work on learning more yourself. So that's effectively what Yehuda does, next parsha. He becomes the leader there and becomes greater than Yosef, simply by his actions there. So instead of just bringing down Yosef, bringing down Binyamin, he becomes the leader and pulls them all back together again. So he realizes that that's not a pipe. The magic cup is not magic. And Yosef is not the cause of their problems way back when. So I like the way he puts that together.
Yeah. Very nice. The cup, wow. I mean, the analogy to the trafim is like, wow. You know.
That's kind of sense. That was more mine than Atkins. He doesn't bring that one up directly.
Because that word nachashti and the phrase whoever did it will die, and I mean, wow, and it's Yosef's mother, you know,
right.
Good. So, I just had this thought that because I was looking at the Yehuda and Tamar story this week, and it's just plucked in here in the Yosef narrative,
right?
Maybe that's to show us, that was the Yehuda then. But here he transforms, like you say, to the leader, and he changes.
I think that's very true. That Yehuda, right? It's by Yehuda. It starts out by Yehuda Yehuda Metachav.
Yeah.
That Yehuda is one who led the sale of Yosef, and he goes down. And by the end of the Tamar story, he's gone back up. So to come in many.
Yeah,
right?
but it's still, it's kind of funny his whole role to burn her and blah.
Right. I mean, at the end, he takes it back. He's wrong. Up. And here he's gone beyond being just, undoing the bad. But he's actually moving up there. So it becomes the story becomes the Also the Ark of the Fall and Rise of Yehuda.
Yeah, maybe that's why we get that little cameo of Yehuda, what he was like, and now we see him getting better, bigger, greater.
Yes,
very, very nice. I have a question for you. What did we do last week? I was trying to remember, and I couldn't remember.
By not clue that they filled themselves with evil plans, that they not clue that the brothers justified themselves. The whole idea that it was a discussion of nechalim, of plots and conspiracies, and that the text emphasizes that they were full of nechalim. Here, let's go back.
Oh, I remember that word. God, I don't remember it. That's very scary.
Right? Plots and crafts. And that the idea that the Midrash says that Rashi brings the Midrash that the East told them that they were
when he goes to Dothan.
And because they're going to Dothan, it's the place, it's part of this theme of Shechem and the Pshat and the Nechalim and the Drash and how they're connected. That Shechem is a Machom Puranut because it's going to lead to the destruction of the Malchut Beit David. And that starts from the same Naklula, Naklula, Vayit Naklu, that they fill themselves with plots.
Right. Yikes, that's very scary. I don't remember it well. Could you send me last week's? I mean, I probably have it in my trash, but.
I'm going to stop recording here.